The Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta begins tomorrow morning on ESPN+. Scottie Scheffler leads the FedEx standings, and he'll start the tournament at 10 under. Our main feed coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. Eastern with featured holes at noon Eastern, featured groups at 1. We'll have morning and afternoon coverage of all four rounds on ESPN+. Welcome back to Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Let's get hour two going, because it is time to get up with Kevin Durant staying in Brooklyn. Is the drama finally over, or is it just beginning? We have Woj, we have Wendy, we have Stephen A. here to talk about it. Plus, Dak Prescott's confidence is sky high. The Cowboys quarterback is expecting bigger and better things in Big D. But do any of our analysts think he's right? And the Broncos have a plan to let Russ cook. But is it the right plan for them to get the most out of their star quarterback? Lots of football to talk about, but we will start with the NBA. Kevin Durant staying with the Nets, according to a statement from General Manager Sean Marks. Durant asked for a trade on June 30th, reiterated that desire in a meeting with Joe Tsai in London earlier this month. But yesterday's statement from Marks came out, said Steve Nash and I, together with Joe Tsai and Clara Wu Tsai, met with Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman in Los Angeles yesterday. We have agreed to move forward with our partnership. We are focusing on basketball with one collective goal in mind, build a lasting franchise to bring a championship to Brooklyn. So at the end of 2 months of Kevin Durant drama, he is back where he started. Woj, how did we get here?
Well, start with this.
How did we stay here?
Yeah, well, exactly. That from June 30th until yesterday, the Nets were no closer to a trade for Kevin Durant, and there really was not a deal on the horizon for him. They did wait this out. They had a very high threshold for a deal, and I think somewhat to the surprise of both Brooklyn and Kevin Durant, teams did not make the kind of roster-gutting offers that was necessary to trade a player of his stature. And I think when Kevin Durant started to look at two things, number one, he wasn't going to sit out training camp the way Ben Simmons did in Philadelphia last year. He loves to play too much. Basketball's too important to him. And number two, this is still the most talented team he's had in his time in Brooklyn. And, you know, you look from June 30th until yesterday, Ben Simmons' rehab has come along. He looks to be on course for training camp. And Kyrie Irving's situation is much more settled, even going into the last year of his deal, than it was on June 30th. He's rescinded the trade offer, and now they've got a month of training camp. They got two roster spots left. They can keep trying to improve this roster. The Nets have a chance to compete for a championship.
At the end of it, that's where we've landed. But the situation, Brian Windhorst, was very complicated and complex all along. How would you describe what happened here?
The Nets really held their nerve through a lot of drama throughout this offseason. They held their nerve when Kyrie Irving said he wanted to look for a trade, and they knew that there was a possibility he could opt out. They held their nerve when Kevin Durant asked for a trade. They held their nerve when teams came at them, and they knew that they were able to really hold the line on Durant trade negotiations. They never really lowered their ask, and it made it hard for any traction to get going because they were holding their nerve. And they held their nerve when Kevin Durant applied pressure to the organization to fire the head coach and GM. And they were able to do that, Dan, because they had leverage. It's not always in the modern day that teams have leverage when it comes to star players, but they did this summer. There wasn't a bunch of teams able to offer Kyrie Irving contracts. There wasn't a team that was going to be able to meet their asking price for Durant. And Durant has 4 years left on their contract. And so they've persevered. I think it's a tentative truce, but it is a truce. And now there's a lot of excitement going into this season for them.
A lot of excitement, but it comes on the heels of a lot of offseason drama. So, Woj, how do you think that might impact what happens on the floor with the Nets this year?
Dan, it's going to be fragile. It's been fragile. It's going to continue to be fragile. This group has to win. This head coach has to win. This core of players, all with something, you know, certainly with something to prove. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons coming back from not playing at all last season. But they've got enough in place. They've got shooting with a healthy Joe Harris, with Seth Curry back. Royce O'Neal comes over from Utah. You know, this is an improved Nets team. And I think if they can get off to a good start, if they can just get the stability of winning, I think that's what this group needs early on. If that doesn't happen, I think all of this stuff starts to percolate up again.
Yeah, and I mean, there's the issue, of course, of the relationships here and how strained several of them might be. Which dynamic, Wendy, are you watching most closely as the Nets reassemble here in a month?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Well, obviously, Steve Nash is in an interesting position, having publicly been had his job called for by his coach. Now he's got to earn by his star player. But I have seen coaches come through this with backing in the organization and actually be able to thrive. And Steve Nash has an incredible array of talent at his disposal now. And I will say this, at the start of the summer, Sean Marks looked at all of the media and all of the Nets fans and said he wanted to reset the dynamic with this team. It has taken some gulps of Pepto-Bismol and some sleepless nights, but they have been able to reset this. And you would think, at least at the start, that there would be a different footing for the organization as it comes to where they are with Irving and Durant. We'll see if it holds. We'll see how Ben Simmons fits in, because he is a massive X factor. And I almost can't believe I'm saying these words, but I'm optimistic about this Nets team now. I'm optimistic that this will settle things down, and I'm optimistic about their talent, their versatility, and their depth.
Unbelievable to get from where we've been to optimism about the Nets. Woj, final word on this?
Again, I think this is a Nets team now, and I think Brian said it, of resetting this team. And now for Kevin Durant, listen, he still has yet to play a game on this new 4-year, $198 million deal. This reminds me a lot of 2007, Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. He walked back that trade request at the end of that summer, beginning of that next season. They add Pau Gasol, they win 2 more championships. There's precedent for this to be put back together and work.
Maybe, who knows, maybe in some bizarre, twisted way, this is just what the Nets needed. We'll obviously keep close tabs on that story, but now we're going to head to the NFL, where Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys are hoping to bounce back after a disappointing finish to last season. Dak recently talked with Peter King about his expectations for this year and why he thinks it might be his best year yet.
Very, very optimistic. I think we're in a better position this year than we were last year. And I know what we have built here, the core, the leaders, and mixed with a great group of young guys who are hungry to make a name for themselves and getting this league running. I feel very, very confident about where we are and excited about where we are and just ready to keep building and get this thing rolling.
Back with our football crew, which today includes 3-time Super Bowl champion James White from the New England Patriots, recently retired. Congratulations on that, by the way. Do you agree with what Dak had to say there?
Yes, I agree. I think they're in the right position, and I think they're in a win-now situation. I like what they have offensively and defensively. Obviously, it's a little bit different for his receiving core, but I think CeeDee Lamb will step up. He'll play a big role this year. Michael Gallup, when he gets healthy, he'll play his role again this year. Obviously, I think more of the onus is on Dak Prescott this year, and I think he's welcoming that challenge. I think this is the way you show that you're a top quarterback in the NFL, to go out there with, maybe not the most talented receiver core in the league, but you go out there and you control the offense, put you guys in the right run looks, put you guys in the right pass looks, and, you know, control the game yourself. I think this will be a big year for him, and I think he'll show that he's elite. Yeah.
We talk about the great quarterbacks in the league. We talk about them overcoming issues, questions, deficiencies. You think Dak is that kind of player, and he'll show it this year?
I think he will. I think he's a great leader. He's a great player. He can use his legs. He can throw the ball all over the football field. I think this will be a big year for him. I think he'll prove his haters wrong this year.
Harry Douglas, what do you think?
I think Dak is a phenomenal quarterback, but I don't think his supporting cast is like it was last year. You got to remember that that receiver core, you talk about a guy like Amari Cooper, Cedric Wilson, Michael Gallup is not there right now. That's over 1,900 yards and 16 touchdowns of last year that Dak Prescott threw to those guys. That's going to be a hole. We don't know what this offensive line is going to be. Are they going to be better than next year? Can they run block better? Can they pass block better? Can they be better as a unit and play in unison to give the Cowboys an opportunity? But I want to bring something up that it was in the light in the first preseason game. 17 penalties in the first one, eight in the last one. That's 25 total in two preseason games, right? That's 12 and a half penalties a game. And the coach came out and said, huh, it's not a big deal. It's preseason, you know, second unit. Last time I checked, it was the first unit that was out there on the field last year, right? So it is an issue.
Yeah.
So you have all those three things with the Dallas Cowboys that they're going to have to overcome this year in a division where I think Philly has a better roster. I think Jalen Hurts is set up more so better for success this year than Dak Prescott. Not saying he's a better quarterback, but when you look at what he has around him, I think he's set up more for success this season than Dak Prescott is.
Tim Hasselbeck, do you agree that Dak Prescott needs to take on more of the responsibility to overcome these roster issues and penalty issues and all that?
Truthfully, I don't think he needs to do more than what he's done. And what he's done is he's been great, really, ever since he stepped into the league. He's been outstanding. He makes good decisions. He's good pre-snap and post-snap. Makes plays with his legs when he needs to. He's an outstanding passer. And he's been a tremendous leader for that organization, even when he was playing through contract situations. So I don't think Dak needs to all of a sudden do more, change what he's done. He's been great. And I think that, you know, to say that he hasn't been is probably unfair to him. And in terms of them being in a better situation than they were a year ago, just think about this. He's coming off a huge injury. He was shut down in training camp because his shoulder was bothering him. The defense was taking on a new defensive coordinator because the defense was horrible the prior year with Mike Nolan. And think about what happened to that football team. Like, they came on. They were better on defense. I think they'll be better, even better this year. And I think Dak will continue to do what he has done throughout his entire career. So I get the optimism in Dallas.
Kimberly Martin, what do you think about the Cowboys and Dak and the NFC East and this whole thing?
I get Dak's optimism as well. What do you expect him to say? Well, two of my receivers I had last year aren't here, and they gave one away for nothing. The two receivers that I do have, besides CeeDee Lamb, I don't know when they're going to take the field in James Washington and Michael Gallup. The head coach, we're always wondering, is he on the hot seat? He is on the hot seat. Is he going to get fired? Like, that was the whole, like, every week it's something with this team. So I understand the optimism that Dak has because he is Dak. We saw what this team was without Dak. And he has top five talent. Like, this guy, he is very good. But there are so many other questions. Like, the guys have all said it, Dan. Like, the Cowboys could have a great year, or we could list a whole bunch of reasons why, you know what, they might miss the playoffs. Like, I think that's the state of the team. But Dak is always positive, and he knows that he is that magic elixir. So he has every reason to be confident in himself.
Tim, final word.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that for some reason, you know, we've been overcritical of Dak and what he's accomplished, and everyone's, you know, concerned about the pieces around him. Great quarterbacks make guys around him better. The reality is he had one offensive lineman last year start every game. You know, I think that Dak throughout his career has had to play through a bunch of static noise and adversity on his team, and they've put, you know, good players around him at times, and I think that he's helped elevate their play. I think this year is no different. I trust him more than any quarterback in the NFC East. That's why I think they win that division.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. There's going to be static and noise as long as he has that job. But he's done a pretty good job of handling it, so we'll see what happens this year. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, speaking of Dak, you know, Dak made this move famous. This is C.J. Uzama and Michael Carter of the Jets. They're doing a little pregame Dak dance. What do you guys think? How are their moves?
Boys need to do some more yoga.
Yeah, that one there, that's not really good.
Yeah, that's my goodness.
My guy, Mike Carter, that's awful.
Yeah, that is not the first one. Zama,
some Pilates or some yoga.
At least he's got the hips into it. I don't know what Michael Carter is doing. This is just that's like a combination of Dak and Ray Lewis. I think that's how you're trying it, but he's not good at either one. Well, he'll work on it. It's the preseason. Anyway, when we come back here and get up, we're going to talk about something else. Specifically, does Devontae Adams have a better chance to win the Super Bowl with Derek Carr than he did with Aaron Rodgers? What? Are the Raiders about to shock the NFL? And the Broncos have a big plan to let Russ cook. But is it the right plan if they want to get the most out of their new quarterback?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, let's do some quarterback quick reads with Tim Hasselbeck. Start us off with Aaron Rodgers. Any reason to be worried he is not playing in the preseason?
I don't think there's any reason to be worried. He hasn't played in the preseason, I don't think, going back, well, there's the stat, since 2018. He doesn't need the work. He's played a lot of football. I referenced earlier how good he's been in terms of touchdown interception ratio. Really been better than anyone that's ever played the game. He's got a great understanding of what's going on offensively. Would other guys benefit? I'm sure, but it's more important to keep Aaron Rodgers healthy, for the season, because basically their season's done if he's not. Another guy whose season would be done if he wasn't healthy would be Josh Allen. I think when you look at MVP candidates, Josh Allen has got to be at the top of the list. And not that there aren't other great quarterbacks like the one we just saw in Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or others. A lot of people talking about Justin Herbert, but Josh Allen does so much for that football team. Yes, they have a good defense, but in terms of run game and pass game, it basically is all on his shoulders, and he handles it about as well as anyone could imagine. You could imagine them doing that. Go out to Denver and Russell Wilson. There seems to be so much excitement, I think rightfully so, with the arrival of Russell Wilson. You have to think that you're going to get better quarterback play in Denver with Russ being there. Now, that being said, are they good enough to win the division? I'm not sure that they are. We've talked all offseason about how good this division is. I do think there's going to be an adjustment. First-time head coach, Russ in a new place. I think the idea that they're going to win that division, kind of too lofty expectations for me.
Well, I'll tell you, I want to talk about somebody now who I think disagrees with you. That would be Russell Wilson's new head coach, Nathaniel Hackett. He had some comments recently about keeping his new quarterback upright, which was an issue, obviously, in Seattle. Take a listen.
We don't ever want him to get touched. I think up to this point, the past two games, I think we gave up one sack. I mean, we want to get that ball out. We want to understand the intention. We want to protect him. And then we want him to do what he does when it breaks down. I don't think that he wants to live in that world. I mean, I don't think anybody does. You know, we want him to play 10 years here, 12 years, 15 years. And the way you do that is by extending it, by running the ball and protecting the quarterback.
All right, so obviously Russell was famous in Seattle for getting outside the pocket, extending plays, making magic happen there. But what Hackett's saying here, Harry, is he'd rather him thrive in the pocket as much as possible. You agree with that approach?
Well, You look at a guy like Russell Wilson, over the last five seasons, he's taken more sacks than anyone. He can't let that happen here in Denver. And the head coach Nathaniel Hackett, that's what he's trying to say. But hold on for a second. Everybody just hold on. Omaha, Omaha. We talk about the Broncos, Omaha. For 1 minute, don't Nathaniel Hackett forget that he has two productive running backs in that backfield who happened to rush for 900 yards each last season. I don't want him to be enamored by this Christmas gift that he got underneath his tree. And Russell Wilson, we're going to let Russ cook. Give the ball to those running backs and let them do their thing. Don't just get enamored by the pass game. Listen, it's like Sunday service, right? The pastor say, fight temptation. Fight it, coach. Fight that temptation. Don't pass the football every play. Run the football. Let those backs be effective and let them compliment Russell Wilson.
Tim, I mean, that's part of what Hackett said there, though, right? Like, we want to run the ball. That's part of how you protect him. Do you agree with Hackett's approach on all this?
I mean, I do to an extent. Like, yes, you want to protect your quarterback. At the same time, you know, you don't want to take something away that he does really well. Look, Russ is great at creating. I think Harry's right. You know, look, they need to run the football. That needs to be the foundation of what they do. I think that they also want to protect their quarterback and have him not get hit. But listen, you better be calling really good plays all the time if you think the quarterback is just going to always get the ball out of his hands immediately. Right. And look, I think it's a little bit like, hey, look, we don't want to run our quarterback. You remember Cam Newton, you know, talking about like, hey, listen, what was it? A lion needs to roar, or whatever he was saying back then. Like, the reality is, you don't want to take the best, one of the best things away from a quarterback when it's how, you know, plenty of offense gets generated throughout his career. So, yeah, fewer sacks, but I don't think you want to handcuff Russ in terms of how he plays.
No, and I think that's true. I mean, obviously there's a balance, and obviously there are going to be plays that break down, and he's going to have to get out of the pocket. But I think in Seattle there was a lot of push and pull there, right, on like was he leaving the pocket before he should have? How should the offensive run? But you think he can operate in a more traditional setup?
I think he definitely can. I think when it came to Seattle, I think him and Pete Carroll were not on the same page when it came to how much they wanted to run the ball, how much they wanted to pass the ball. So I think that kind of led to Russ pressing a little bit and trying to make a play too much and leading to sacks and interceptions and things like that. Because when you get outside that pocket, things can get a little dangerous. No pun intended.
But, I think it was intended.
Which it could be positive for the offense or it could be positive for the defense. But I think Russ is more than capable of standing in the pocket making the throws. But I don't think the coach should put him in a box and say, we're just going to stand here and throw from the pocket all day long, because that's what keeps defenders up at night and, you know, defensive players up at night, his ability to escape and get out of the pocket and, you know, throw the ball 60 yards down the field and create big plays. So I think you can't, you know, knock that part of his game out of it.
Kimberly, what are you hearing out of Denver? What do you expect to go on there with Russ in year one?
Yeah, it's interesting because every week I'm at a different game and I talk to offensive linemen and they talk about all these mobile quarterbacks. The key is the protection has to hold up because you always have to know where your guy is. But when people, you know, when you talk to people about Russ, it's usually like, he holds onto the ball a lot. Like, and that's hard for his offensive linemen to always keep him upright because he always has the ball and is always scrambling. But when you look around the league, that is what we love about these quarterbacks now that are coming up. They all are dual threat. They all are scrambling. They're all big. They all can throw. And to take that away from Russ is really interesting. I think it's going to be, especially Nathaniel Hackett being a first-time head coach and these coordinators being first-time in these roles, and Russ being that vet QB who this is who he is, that pull, that tug is going to happen all season long, and they have to manage that.
Fascinating to see what happens with Russell Wilson in Denver. They opened their season on Monday Night Football on ESPN in Seattle. Isn't that fun? We come back with Kevin Durant heading back to Brooklyn. Are the Nets actually good enough to win a championship? We are going to have Stephen A. Smith in here to answer that question. But first, we have sneaky Hembo time, and James White, this one's for you. It's for the new guy. Hembo has this question. Which player owns the single game scoring record in Super Bowl history? I think he might.
Yeah, I'm not going to sound conceited here, but I think it's myself.
All right, we'll find out when we come back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, we're back. It's sneaky Hembo time. Hembo, I don't know what's going on with Hembo, but this, I mean, here's the question for James White. Who owns the single game scoring record in Super Bowl history? James, do you have any idea who this could possibly be?
I think he might be standing in your presence.
He is, in fact. The correct answer is you, James White, who scored 20 points on 3 touchdowns and a 2-point conversion in Super Bowl 51. Patriots beating the Falcons. Look at this. Here we have our guy, James White. All right, which one's this?
Game winner.
That the first one? That's the game winner. That's it. That's the last one. The walk-off touchdown to win the Super Bowl. Pretty good, I would say. So, yeah, Hembo, sorry about that. I'm sure you thought you had him fooled. But he remembered. Back to our top story of the day, Kevin Durant staying with the Brooklyn Nets. According to a statement from general manager Sean Marks, Durant initially asked for a trade on June 30th and reiterated that desire in a meeting with Joe Tsai in London earlier this month. So that two-month drama has come to a conclusion with Kevin Durant staying put, and to talk about it, we welcome the great Stephen A. Smith.
How are you, my man? How's everything?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
May I start off by saying this? You just walk into the corridors of ESPN, and you meet big-time people. It's Kat Russell Hornsby, the actor extraordinaire, ladies and gentlemen. He's in the building. The brother's something special, so it was one of my good moments.
So you're having a big morning already.
I'm having a big moment.
All right. Well, let's keep it going. You had KD news yesterday. What was your reaction?
No surprise whatsoever. I thought the news was much ado about nothing. No shade whatsoever on the reporters. What I'm saying is, Kevin Durant, you weren't going no damn place anyway. Where were you going? You got a 4-year deal, $198 million extension that didn't even kick in yet when you said you wanted out. Where the hell did you think you were going? The reality of the situation is as much of a headache as Kyrie Irving has been to them. Okay, and I'm not going to belabor that point because we're moving forward. In the end, this is all of Kevin Durant's doing. Kyrie Irving wouldn't be in Brooklyn if it wasn't for Kevin Durant because the Brooklyn Nets wanted Kevin Durant, and they were willing to do anything that he wanted. That means your mama got courtside seats along with your brother and any other family members. They gave you a massage. They gave you a pedicure. They gave you car service. They gave you helicopters. They gave you private jet access, okay? They gave you Kyrie Irving. They gave DeAndre Jordan $40 million. You had a coach who never coached in his life and Steve Nash that you co-signed. You signed off on. They gave you everything. So if you're Kevin Durant, you damn well had better stay. Where do you think you're going? If I'm Joe Tsai, if I'm the owner, my attitude from day one was, where the hell you think you're going? I got you 3 years. I gave you $164 million the first go round. You didn't play the first year because you had the Achilles tear. Mm-hmm. So I just gave you a signing bonus, okay? You got that first year paid for. The last 3 years, you got bounced out. And the only thing that you registered was a first-round playoff series victory. I'm going to say it one last time. Where the hell did you think you were going? Nowhere. He's right where he should be, stuck on traffic on Atlantic Avenue. Figure it out and try to win a damn championship.
Well, he obviously thought he was going somewhere because the last thing we remember hearing in this story was he wanted the Nets to pick between him and Nash, the coach he picked.
That was a ploy. What happened is that initially he had the Phoenix Suns okay, and the Miami Heat on his list, because obviously he's got a crib in Miami and Arizona with the state income taxes ain't that bad. It ain't Tennessee, it ain't Nevada, all right, Delaware, stuff like that, but damn it, it's all right, okay? So he looked at it from that perspective then, and his attitude was like, hey, I'd like to go to one of these two teams. Well, guess what? DeAndre Ayton, he signed an offer sheet with the Indiana Pacers. Mm-hmm. It was matched by the Phoenix Suns, so you couldn't move him. And at the time, it would have been him, Mikal Bridges, somebody else. It wasn't going to be Devin Booker. Miami didn't have the assets to move, so they could get you as well. You were going to be stuck in the rut, so you ended up making the best decision, which was to stay. But I just need to emphasize, it was never really his decision.
But what happens now with Nash? Like, how can they get along? Can they coexist?
Well, first of all, listen. If you remember, at the end of the season when Kevin Durant was interviewed, he never expressed a problem with Steve Nash. He never expressed a problem with the Brooklyn Nets until the Brooklyn Nets refused to have that four-year, $212 million extension waiting for Kyrie Irving. Mm. And then suddenly thereafter, he's like, I want out. And what they reminded him was, whoa, you built this. You played a significant role in building this. We assembled this because of you. You don't get to jump ship now when we got you locked in for 4 years and $198 million. Now, if it were me, maybe next summer. But this year, I've never had you and Kyrie together for more than a handful of games. I didn't have the dream trio of you, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, because James Harden wanted to get the hell up out of here so he could go down south to down I-95 to play for Daryl Morey in Philadelphia. But I still got Ben Simmons. So I got Ben Simmons. He's healthy. He's ready to go. I got Kyrie Irving. He wants a new contract because he saw Bradley Beal and Zach LaVine and cats like that get a $200-plus million deal. And then on top of it all, I got the best player in the world when healthy in Kevin Durant. We are a top three team. Healthy and locked in, the Brooklyn Nets should be the favorites to come out of the Eastern Conference and represent them in the NBA Finals. And you talking about going away? Hell no, you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going anywhere. Kyrie ain't going anywhere. Ben Simmons ain't going anywhere. Y'all owe me this. If I'm Josiah, you owe me this. Deliver.
It all looks great on paper.
Sure.
It always did.
Yeah.
Do you think that they can put all this behind them and actually cash in on all that promise?
Well, it's interesting that you use that word, that phrase, cash in, because ain't that what this is about?
Yes.
Not with Kevin Durant. Kyrie wants his cash. The brother, we all know Kyrie box office. Kyrie's worth $50 million a year in today's NBA market. He is spectacular. He is sensational. He's box office, okay? We know that about him. The problem is, can you trust him? Well, guess what? He found out folks don't trust him. So you didn't have that extension waiting for you, nor could you go out there and get it from anybody else. So now at $36.9 million for the player option, you got to go on the court and show the world, not that you can play. We can close our eyes. Everybody can see that Kyrie Irving is a superstar. We know that. There's nothing that he has to prove on the basketball court. Do you know what Kyrie Irving has to do to get that $200 million extension he so desperately craves?
Play.
All he got to do is show up and play.
Yeah.
Even if Kyrie on a bad night is worth over $200 million. That's how spectacular he is. The issue with him is one thing and one thing only. Are you going to show up to work?
All right.
And so because of that, he wants his money. He got to show up to work. After what Ben Simmons went through, I ran into Ben Simmons personally. We had a conversation. He went through a lot. He told me about some things personal. That's his business. I'll never repeat it. But in the end, he's over all of that now. He's ready to go. He was my vote because I have one. He was my vote for Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago. He is that lethal. I mean, he can't shoot worth a damn. He says he doesn't shoot. I said, damn it, if you don't shoot, you can't shoot. Okay? Period. Don't tell me you can shoot, but you don't shoot. No, you can't shoot. All right? But he can do everything else. He's 6'10". He's got ball handling skill, high basketball IQ. He's an elite defensive player, an exceptional ball handler, a playmaker. We know what he can do. If Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving are highly motivated and Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant, the same dude that just finished averaging 29 a game, the Brooklyn Nets should be the favorites to come out of the East. None of us will label them the favorites because we don't trust they're going to show up to work. But if they show up to work, they can win the East.
It's a big if.
Now, if not the championship.
We're going to be watching that, obviously, very closely.
Right.
But I want to bring up another team that's
generally
about off-season promise,
sure.
And that is the Dallas Cowboys. Because tomorrow, right, First Take, you're going to be there at the Star in Dallas.
I'm looking forward to it.
Fired up about that?
Of course, I'm very, very much fired up about that. I mean, I don't know why they would invite me. I don't know why they bring this upon themselves. I just want to state to the United States of America. And I appreciate that video, but I need the camera on me, please, right now, so I can say what I want to say to all the Cowboy fans out there throughout America. I still firmly believe that you are the most nauseating, disgusting fan base in American history. All Cowboy fans make me sick. I don't like y'all. I can't stand y'all. I say that with love and affection because I'm just having fun here. But y'all get on my last damn nerves. Why, Dan? Because the Dallas Cowboys could go 1-15 for a season. This season can end on January 5th at 7 p.m. And by 7:15 p.m., this is them. You know we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? You know we're going to win the Super Bowl. This is who they are, okay? So when they lost to San Francisco last year and all of those people were crying and you had the sister, one lady, she was a sister, and she was just looking at them like, y'all ain't worth a damn. That look was on her face. I have personally invited all of those people. I had one dude there. He got busted with the wrong girl. He was supposed to be with some girl, and his girlfriend caught him on video with somebody else at the game, and she dumped him. I'm not telling this business. It was all over the news, okay? You got other dudes, grown man crying with a cowboy hat on. You had another woman crying her eyes out. I personally invited all of these people to tomorrow's show. They're my special guests. I want them to know they can just show up. I'll know exactly who they are if they just show up, okay? I want them all there. And let me tell you something. When I roll up in there tomorrow night in Frisco, Texas, right outside of Dallas, right at the practice facility, the Star, all I'm going to say is you don't want to miss my entrance tomorrow.
All right.
You don't want to miss it. Well, I got something special for those Cowboy fans out there tomorrow. I can't wait to see y'all sorry you know what's. I can't wait.
But with that as the backdrop, you obviously, as Stephen A. points out, will not want to miss First Take at the Star in Dallas tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. It's going to be Molly. It's going to be Stephen A. It's going to be Michael Irvin. Jerry Jones going to be on there?
Yes, he is.
Dez Bryant going to be on there?
Yes, he is.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
And none of them can help the Cowboy fans tomorrow. Michael Irvin can't help you. Jerry Jones can't help you. Dez Bryant can't help you. Anybody, none of them can help you. They in trouble.
First Take at the Star. You don't want to miss it. We come back on Get Up. Does Devontae Adams have a better chance to win the Super Bowl with Derek Carr than he did with Aaron Rodgers? Are the Raiders going to shock the NFL? We'll talk about that when we come back on Get Up. All right, back on Get Up, we're going to play a game of right or wrong where I make a definitive, declarative statement and our analysts tell me if it is right or wrong. James White, the Patriots will miss the playoffs, right or wrong?
Wrong. I know I'll get some faces for making that statement, but I know the Bills are the favorite to win that division. But those teams, the Bills, Jets, Dolphins, they know each other really well. They'll compete really hard. They're going to find ways to win football games. The offense will be just fine. The defense will make plays and win games.
Harry looks flabbergasted that was James's answer. Kimberly Martin, Lamar Jackson will become the NFL's highest paid quarterback, right or wrong?
Dan, I'm going to say wrong. The question isn't should he become the highest paid, because he should, because he is a former MVP, unlike Deshaun Watson and Kyler Murray. But the thing I keep hearing is the Ravens don't do business that way. They don't give out fully guaranteed contracts worth $230, but they should, because he is worth it.
All right, Harry, the Las Vegas Raiders will have the best offense in the league this year, right or wrong?
I think that's wrong. They will have a successful season with the pieces that they do have, but when you see teams like the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals who assured their offensive lines because that was the issue last year, I put those two teams ahead of the Las Vegas Raiders at the moment.
All right, well, speaking of the Raiders' offense, their new star wide receiver, Devontae Adams, was on the Pivot podcast recently with our great friend Ryan Clark, and he talked about his expectations for that Raiders' offense this year. Here's what he had to say.
You're going to get the work every single time we line up. Like, that's just how it is. Like, yeah. I'm expecting and hoping that I'm going to murder you every play, but that ain't the reality of it. But I'm going to set out to do just that. I'm trying to chop your head off every single time we line up to show the quarterback, like, there's no other option. If we are all singled up, I'm the guy that need the ball. And if I don't, if Hunter's singled up, I know Hunter going to win that. And if Darren's singled up, Darren might go and score. You know what I'm saying? Like, based off some of the matchups he's dealing with.
A lot more murder talk on today's show than I remember, right?
Yeah, like, Saquon and the world want to know how wide receivers think. That's how we think right there.
How you doing? All right. Well,
Davante Adams, you want to chop his head off? You want to cut?
Move a little now, farther just away from him for the rest of the segment, just violent. In case.
I love that confidence. That's his mindset every time he lines up, and you see why he wins his route, whether he's single press, whether he's double team, whether he's triple team. That's why quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers in the past, now Derek Carr, they're going to have the confidence no matter what. I'm throwing the ball to him. When he's talking like that, but has the credentials to back it up, and y'all want to know how wide receivers think. That's how we think right there.
We now know. Tim, I think you had a hunch you knew how wide receivers thought with your time as a quarterback. Devontae's saying the Raiders will have a top offense now. Do you think he's right?
I do think he's right. The only thing that would hold it back is the fact that there will be a learning curve with a new coach and, you know, kind of just some, you know, new people. And so if there's a learning curve, maybe that derails it. But listen, Harry's exactly right. Like, in look, his excitement about the way Devontae talked about it, I'm sure there's that same excitement from Derek Carr. And look, sometimes, and we've kind of joked about it, you know, on the show, everyone's optimistic at this time of year. But the reality is about what Devontae is saying is between Waller, Renfro, and Davante Adams, if they get single coverage, if they are manned up, I don't think there is ever a moment where any of those three guys don't believe that, like, that's an advantage to them, that they will win. I think they all absolutely believe it. I think the quarterback believes it. I think they're right to believe it. And so when that's the case, like, it just creates so many problems. I truly don't know. I'm eager to see this season how people are going to try to defend these guys. It's a matchup league. Each one of those guys is a matchup nightmare. And so, you know, how they end up being played, I think is a big mystery, and I'm not quite honestly sure how people are going to do it.
Yeah, people forget. I think the Raiders finished last season so hot and got themselves into the playoffs under an interim coach, Rich Bisaccia. New coach is Josh McDaniels. Kimberly, what do you think about the Raiders this year in the AFC West?
I'm so excited about the Raiders. I actually was out there at camp a few weeks ago and talked to Davante Adams, and I found it really funny that he said, you know, I know, we know the outside noise. People are wondering, like, oh, they're saying, oh, they done teamed up. What are the Raiders going to look like? Oh, what is Davante Adams going to look like without Aaron Rodgers? Like, he hears that. And I even said to him jokingly, like, so what are you going to be without Aaron? And he, you know, he joked and he was like, we're going to see. He thinks it's a silly question, though, and because his whole entire career proves otherwise. Like, he has the credentials. But he said to me at the time, look, I understand everything I've done. That gives me the confidence. Like, he's a technician at route running. Like, he is just so precise. He is so good. But he understands that this is a whole new situation, and the expectations are high. But in that building, they are really confident because of what these guys are saying, because you cannot just single him. You cannot just single any person because the other guys will exploit that matchup.
And the guy in charge of designing it all is, of course, new head coach Josh McDaniels, who you know well, James, from his time as the Patriots offensive coordinator. What do you think his offense is going to look like in Vegas?
I think they're going to be one of the top offenses. Like you guys have been speaking on, Davante Adams, Hunter Renfro, Darren Waller. Don't forget about, you know, Josh Jacobs in that running game as well. So that's going to be a big part of their offense. Josh McDaniels is going to do a great job of designing plays. They're going to find ways to win the football game many different ways. I think it'll be a big year for Derek Carr. I think this is the year for him to show that if he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, got an offensive-minded head coach, go out there and do it.
I feel like every day we're on here talking about a different team that can win the AFC West. Going to be an unbelievable division to watch. But, yeah, I would not count out the Raiders by any means. We have another win or go home game in the first round of the best of three WNBA playoffs. The sixth seeded Wings take on the third seeded Sun. The winner will take on Chicago. Game three is tonight at 9 Eastern on ESPN and the app. We got a little more work to do here on Get Up, but when we're done, First Take is coming up next. Will the Nets succeed next season or will they implode? Is Nick Saban the best coach in college football history? They'll talk about all that on First Take at the top of the hour. Back on Get Up, we have a developing story in golf this morning. The PGA Tour Championship tees off tomorrow, but just moments ago, Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan spoke about the PGA's future, and he made a big announcement.
Specifically, Monahan announced major changes to several tournaments, including higher purses. Take a listen.
In addition to the elevated events we announced in June, we're planning to elevate another four events within the 2023 FedEx Cup regular season. We will identify these tournaments in the near future, and they will feature an average purse of $20 million. The second item, well, to me, it's the headline, and I've already alluded to it. Our top players are making a commitment to play in all 12 elevated events, as well as the Players' Championship, the Masters Tournament, the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, and the Open Championship. They will also add at least three additional PGA Tour events to their schedules. Our top players are firmly behind the tour, helping us deliver an unmatched product to our fans, who will be all but guaranteed to see the best players competing against each other in 20 events or more throughout the season.
Monahan also announced that rookies will get a $500,000 stipend. All of this is in response to the rival LIV Tour, which has poached many top champions, including Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, and Patrick Reed. Meanwhile, with all this going on, the coverage of the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta begins tomorrow morning on ESPN+. Scottie Scheffler leads the FedEx standings, and he'll start the tournament at 10 under. Our main feed coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, with featured holes at noon Eastern and featured groups at 1. We will have morning and afternoon coverage of all four rounds on ESPN+. Finishing the show today in San Francisco, where Trey Lance is set to take the reins as the starting quarterback from Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo in the final year of his contract, due just shy of $27 million this season. So this has been a big source of debate all summer long with 49ers and Trey Lance. And is he going to be ready? And what are they going to do with Jimmy G? Kimberly, what's the latest you're hearing?
Yeah, Dan, right now things are quiet, but things are expected to pick up after teams get through their final preseason game and then after we get through cutdown day. That's when all teams will understand what their roster looks like. They'll evaluate different key positions, and then you're going to see teams come back to the 49ers and say, okay, this is what we're going to offer you for Jimmy.
James White, former teammate of Jimmy Garoppolo. Are the 49ers making a mistake here in your eyes?
I think so. I think they should keep him, find a way to restructure his contract. Obviously, they believe in Trey Lance, and I think he'll have a good year, but you never know what's going to happen. He can get hurt. He may not perform the way you want him to, but you know what you can get from Jimmy Garoppolo, so I think they should keep him.
Major trade up in the draft last year to get Lance. They think he can take him to somewhere Jimmy couldn't, but Jimmy got him to the Super Bowl once and almost another time. You agree with James?
I agree. I'm keeping him. What if something happens to Trey Lance in one of these games that he's playing and you need a quarterback to step in and be productive? Let's not forget, Jimmy Garoppolo won 70% of his games. He didn't lead him to a touchdown, but he helped get to a Super Bowl. He helped get them to a Super Bowl and also an NFC Championship game. Listen, a lot of people are going to say, I don't want to ruffle feathers and have people's feelings be hurt. Mm-hmm. Don't nobody care nothing about nobody's feelings. This is the National Football League. I was taught that as soon as I got into the National Football League. If you're in your feelings, it's probably not for you.
All right, well, we'll see what happens with Garoppolo. $24.1 million salary, not guaranteed, but if he's on the roster week one, it is. So they may have to cut him. We'll see. Thanks for watching Get Up this morning. We had a lot of fun. First Take is next.